Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. We're going to have a Trivia Friday today. We mentioned this last hour because of the situation that happened in Dallas last night.
Massacre. I mean, it was a massacre. It was an ambush and five police officers shot dead by snipers who apparently had some amount of training in the way that this was executed. And it just wasn't, you know, it was your call, Tim. I applaud it. It just wasn't a day for us to try to, you know.
Nobody feels like laughing and having fun.
No.
When we have five dead police officers in one of our great cities and tensions. We need to pray for these families. By the way, at noon, we're going to break in and carry the live prayer vigil.
It's noon Central Time, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, noon Central Time. The mayor called for people to pray for the police officers' families, and we're going to participate in that. Now, let me just tell you this. He said interfaith. I don't know what he said, the mayor. Sometimes on these prayer rallies, before we're going to air it live, but I'm just telling you, we don't know the theology
right.
of the people who are going to be participating. It's commendable that the mayor would do this.
Right.
He said, I'm a man of faith, but I'm just saying we as Bible-believing Christians understand sometimes people don't see things the way we do theologically when they have these community prayer gatherings. So people just need to understand. We don't know exactly what's going to, but we're.
Yeah, know. I want to let our listeners know Abe Hamilton
Abe's with us.
Is with us. He's a public policy analyst. You know, Abe, it is true. Sometimes cities do these kinds of prayer meetings as a way to symbolize
yes.
the fact that the faiths are together, therefore
right.
we're calling for the people to be together. Christians believe that when you pray, you're actually praying to someone, so it does matter.
Yeah.
Who you're praying, you know, to, and yeah. So
is his mic on? Okay, Abe's mic on. Okay,
all right.
And Miki Addison also with us. Miki from Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Radio.
Yes, non-public policy analyst.
Non-public policy.
Private policy analyst.
No.
Okay, thank you.
She's the family policy analyst for four Addisons, I think.
Hey,
and
that's a good camp to be in.
Please don't forget, just days away from the fifth appearance of
wow.
an Addison. Yeah.
When will the next Addison be here?
Well, just, I mean, we're there. We're just,
any
I mean, just
now.
Whenever. Any day now. Yeah.
You know, we miss seeing you around the office, Miki, because
I miss seeing you guys too.
You do your part of the show from home.
Yes.
And you get kids, so
professionally speaking, we say I work remotely is what I do.
How do you do that?
It's difficult, but I care about the mission. So it's one of those things where I count it a blessing to be able to do what I'm encouraging other people to do, shore up my family while taking my place on the front lines in culture. It's
Amen.
Really a blessing.
Well, 3 hours a day, Urban if you want to listen to Urban Family Communications, as I say, a ministry of AFA and AFR, and you don't get one of the stations that carries Urban Family, although we just went on in Memphis. We're delighted and excited about that with a new station. But what's the website for Urban Family?
UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Thank you for that. UrbanFamilyTalk.com. You can live stream it. You can download the apps. You can tell people about it. It's another line of defense for this battle that
Give me a one minute mission statement for Urban Family.
We want to equip urban communities to respond to the issues of the day biblically.
Well, okay, you got 50 seconds left.
I don't know what we're going to do.
We're just going to.
I always surprise people when I'm brief. They don't know how to recover from that. They're like, wait, she's done?
I was going to say that, but I don't know how you would take it.
You do not want to make Miki
right.
angry.
No.
No, not in this condition right now.
Right.
No.
Miki Addison and Abe Hamilton joining us here. Just FYI here, Abe's not only public policy analyst for American Family Association, but. His prior life experience included the assistant district attorney in New Orleans and Houston.
That's right,
Houston, Texas.
Okay.
What did your job entail there?
I was a major felony trial attorney, so I tried everything from murders, rapes, sexual assaults.
Are you putting bad guys away?
Yeah, quite frequently, actually.
Now, let me ask you this, in light of what we're talking about, and either of those, both are big cities, mm-hmm. would the district attorney's office go after a police officer?
Absolutely.
If he was accused of excessive force? Have you ever done that?
Yes, you lose your credibility as a law enforcement community if you don't apply the law to all citizens, including police officers, when they violate. So each office has what you call either a public integrity unit, which deals with public corruption in elected officials, and police integrity units that deal with police officers who violate the law in any number of ways, but particularly in unjustified uses of force.
Those guys are always the bad guys on cop shows.
They are. You
know, I remember even watched years ago with the Barney Miller show, which was a half-hour sitcom about a police mm-hmm. precinct in New York, and internal affairs was, mm-hmm. you know, Law and Order. And if internal affairs shows up, it was like Dracula.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean? It's just like everyone wanted to put up a cross or something. But as you said, you've got to have mm-hmm. that arm of law enforcement, because the power that the police wield is, mm-hmm. I mean, can be lethal. You've got to have restraint on that.
And let me say, most police officers understand that, and they don't want their efforts maligned by rogue officers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So as much as people like to talk about a blue line, we just had Eric on, he just said what I experienced. They don't want their name, you know, smudged as a result of having to be in league with a rogue officer. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have that phenomenon, especially in big cities.
Well, Miki, what did you think? By the way, thank you for putting us in touch with the brother who was over with us.
Eric Muldrow.
Eric. Mm-hmm.
retired law enforcement.
What do you think about all this, Miki?
Well, first, I want to say this. It's important that we respond spiritually first. You know, even with all of the analyzing that we'll do, and we'll look at this stuff, and people will be talking about it around their dinner tables, I think it's so important. And that's why I think that Eric made a great guest as well, because you talk about the law enforcement community, and you talk about what we're facing in this country, and you've got to look at the spiritual implications. And I want to just share this scripture. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5 says that evil men do not understand justice. Now, think about that, okay? So we've got a lot of people out here in this country right now. We have almost sort of a tone of like, we want justice, we want justice. And a lot of these people really don't want justice. What they want is revenge. And we see that reflected even in what was carried out last night. That is not the definition of justice. It's not justice. And it's consistent with the scriptures. We have to understand, whenever we see these things played out, it's confirming the word of God. It is confirming what already exists, what we already know as believers. So the second half of that verse, chapter 28 in Proverbs, verse 5, the second half says, but those who seek the Lord understand all. So what that tells me is that if we're going to be engaged in this battle that we're in, and we know that it's a spiritual battle, we as the church, we've got to take the lead. That's why it was important for us to take the lead in the 60s. We've got to do that same thing right now.
You know, the ad was, Abe and Miki, that's very good. Very good what you just called on for us to do, to pray and to lead by example. I want to ask you, Ed was pointing out this statistic. The statistics don't confirm, sometimes there's don't confirm the perception out there, I guess I would say. This is from the Washington Post, a liberal newspaper, by the way. In 2015, these are police statistics. In 2015, nearly 1,000 people were shot and killed by police across the country, nationally.
Right.
Almost all the people shot were men. 95% were men. The women, the ladies, the girls are not getting in confrontation with police officers. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? A genetic difference of that vast. 95% are men who shot and killed by police. Now, here's what this article says. That's probably not a surprise to you, but here was the racial breakdown of all people killed by police nationally in 2015. Now, if you watch a lot of the news media and a lot of the social media, you would think 9 out of 10 people killed are black males between the ages of 15 and 30. Am I right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're being hunted down. That's
by killer cops.
Yes. Well, actually, in 2015, 51% of those who were shot and killed in America by police officers were whites.
Right.
White men. 27% were black males. And 18% were Hispanics. So the numbers, Miki, don't even reflect the perception out there of what's going on in our country. As Abe said yesterday, and who couldn't agree with this, every case needs to be treated individually.
Absolutely.
There are cases like what happened in South Carolina,
right,
where a cop gunned down a man and basically
was running away.
Yeah, he's running
for a relatively minor.
He got charged with murder.
Yes.
Too. So when cops do things that are illegal, then they need to be charged with the crime and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Nobody that I know disagrees with that. But the perception is not the reality here, I don't think, Miki, in what's going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes when we look at this, we have to understand that we have a false argument, I think, where we say either we want law enforcement officers to be able to respond using their instincts or using their experience, or we don't, and we want anarchy. We want cops just, you know, indiscriminately killing people at will. I mean, come on, that's crazy. That's not the, you know, that's not the alternative, I guess, is what I'm suggesting. And you know, when I think of it, we tell people all the time, you know, stop, the rights you save may be your own, you know, because sometimes we look at these situations and we say, well, you know, we don't want racial profiling. Well, except when I benefit from it. When I'm kept safe as a result of it. And I think it's important to look at who the perpetrators are. I think, listen, what we are doing right now, and this is really dangerous, guys. What we're doing right now is we're asking law enforcement officers to go into a situation where their brain and their instinct is basically tied. It's bound, where they can't think. I mean, you look at the Justice Department announcing, I think it was last week, that federal agents are now going to have to undergo bias sensitivity training. Like, I mean, it's crazy. Right. So now you go into a situation, and when you're going to respond, you have to think of the optics. Okay, wait, what does this look like if I... So now you are adding more to this law enforcement officer when it comes down to simply trying to defend civilians. I mean, it's crazy.
To your point, you remember what happened with Darren Wilson?
Yes.
The police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, after he got in that altercation with Michael Brown. Michael Brown is dead. We later learned that hands up, don't shoot didn't even happen. That
right.
narrative had been put out there by the young man who was with Michael Brown, who said he was gunned down like an animal, I think, or something to that. That inflamed people, especially in the inner city, the black people there. We all know what happened, the riots and everything like that, as a result of something that wasn't even true to begin with. Nobody has to apologize for that, by the way. But here's the point, what you're talking about. Eric Holder from the Justice Department sent 40-plus FBI agents to 40-plus right. FBI agents to Ferguson, Missouri, to go after Darren Wilson and learn what he had done from his cradle to the time he had the incident with Michael Brown, to try to get a civil rights lawsuit, I think it was, against Darren Wilson. Darren Wilson's now had to go into hiding for the rest of his life, but basically is what I understand. But my point is, other police officers around the country see that. They see, okay, the full force of the federal government came after this guy, Darren Wilson. It was politicized. Eric Holder and by the way, with all those officers, they never got anything on him. They never brought any civil rights charges against Darren Wilson. So in other words, they exonerated his behavior.
It was the exact opposite. They actually found that the grand jury investigation was actually 100% accurate, and there was no
African Americans on the grand jury.
On the grand jury, and they found that Darren Wilson had been a great community member.
Never had any problem at all whatsoever. He wasn't a racist who was going out looking for a fight with a black kid.
No, and then you have to ask yourself, how does that impact the mind and hearts of somebody else who would have a heart to want to make a difference in this community? Do you think they want to become a police officer then?
No. This is what worries me, too, subsequent to what's going on in our country, Mickey and Will, right, Mickey, and Abe, and Ed. And Ed is Abe. I mean, Ed, I'd like to ask you. I think things are probably going to get worse. Mm-hmm. What you want is you want police officers who go through their life getting experience, who are seasoned, who have good mm-hmm. judgment, who don't. I'm afraid a lot of these guys are going to quit.
Well, I pointed out that this past month, in fact, the police chief, David Brown,
in Dallas,
they had 48 officers quit the Dallas Police Force. This is before last night.
Their families are pressuring them. You can't blame them. They're mm-hmm. saying,
they took jobs in smaller communities or suburban communities for more pay and probably a lot less stress and a lot more danger. And that comes right before this happens. So what you're talking about has already happened in Dallas.
Okay, so then you have to go out. I'm just thinking how this might work. You go have your police department. You're going to hire new officers to replace
right.
those. You can't find guys with experience. You have to hire younger guys maybe with less experience who are going to be more, how do you say it, adrenaline flowing. They don't have the experience of knowing, okay, I need to call backup for this or that. In other words, you're asking, that's a recipe for
disaster, and it's happening right now in New Orleans, Louisiana, I can tell you. Mm-hmm. They instituted a residency requirement that excludes anybody from consideration if they don't live in the New Orleans metropolitan area. If anybody knows about New Orleans, that it's small geographically, and a lot of the people live in suburbs surrounding it. So they end up having a dearth in candidates for the police force. So what they ended up doing is reducing their standards from not adding for consideration individuals who don't have arrests on their record to now consider for the police force individuals with arrests on their record.
Is that going on in that
That's
city?
Happening right now.
In New Orleans, but also right? other metropolitan areas.
Other metropolitan areas are experiencing it because you have that. You know, we're human beings, and people recognize what's going on. And when you have this overt hostility towards police officers, it ends up having a dearth in candidates that would want to take the occupation to begin with, and then it opens the door for people to begin to consider those who previously they wouldn't have considered for hiring.
Mickey, what do you think about that?
No, I think it's problematic. I mean, I think you guys are doing an excellent job covering it. You know, I got to say this. You know, people ask, as a black person living in America, do you fear the police? You know, do you fear law enforcement? And I have to tell you, I don't. Now, that's not to say that there are not times, and I feel like it's necessary to say this because we want to be measured and we want to be balanced. We don't want to have a one-sided approach. I think it's important to say, for example, Eric said this morning on the show, he said, listen, somebody had to graduate at the bottom of the academy. He said, we're not going to ignore that. We're not going to pretend like that didn't happen, you know. And he said, but by and large, you were talking about officers who are committed, who are trained, who are at the tops of their classes, you know, and it's important to talk about that. But I've got to tell you, As a believer, yes, that's my chief identity. I'm not walking around afraid of law enforcement. I'm not raising my sons. You know, we've got two sons. We've got the third son on the way. I'm not going to, nor am I raising them now to fear law enforcement. You know, man, the scripture teaches us that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So why do we have to walk around with this fear? It almost sort of like we need something to validate the current climate, when really the current climate is pushing back against the culture of the church. It's pushing back against righteousness. It's pushing back against godliness. And we as the people of God have got to be salt and light. Now, does that mean that we ignore injustice? We absolutely do not. We absolutely do not ignore injustice. But we are uniquely suited. We as believers are uniquely suited to actually identify injustice so we can't keep quiet. You understand? And so you have people who are out there now who are saying that they want justice, but if they're wicked, the Bible very clearly says they don't even understand
justice.
I got to
say this. Got to jump in here. Preach it, sister, by the way. I got to say this. I think back to Dr. Martin Luther King's message. Think about this for a minute. A peaceful, nonviolence, trying to win over the hearts and minds of the vast white majority who controlled America. And you think about this for just a minute. Here's a fella, talking about Dr. King. He's dealing with millions of his people, black people who were in, they didn't have civil rights.
Right.
Couldn't vote. And so you're talking about real systematic institutional discrimination that you're dealing with. If anybody sort of had a right to
be angry,
and call for shooting the white man, so to speak, that would be. But instead, his approach was a gospel sort of Christian approach to appeal to people's to white America's sense of justice, as Mickey said.
You can't minimize that. The thrust of the civil rights movement was Christian in its identity. Yeah. It was spurred on by the Southern Christian Leadership Organization.
Right.
It was recognizing that Thomas Jefferson's penning of the Declaration of Independence was based on the book of Genesis, the book of Acts, the Bible, and that all men are endowed by their creator with indelible rights. That there's no such thing as a second-class human being because God didn't make second-class human beings. And so it was the Christian focus of the movement that caused it to have the thrust and fervor that it had.
Yes, and Dr. King's Christian message, he was appealing to white Christian America.
Absolutely.
Saying, come on, guys. Come on.
It is time to live up to what our founders have put in paper.
And they agreed with him. And not everybody. But the majority of white Christians in America.
The contrast is going to be now, how does white America view what happened in Dallas last night? Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to win over, let's say for examples of real racism or real abuse of power, you want to still want to, not just white people, you want to win over everybody to your perspective. You think shooting, massacring five cops is going to do that? No, it's going to increase anger and resentment, and it's going to put real justice further away than it is now. So this is, but I don't think that these people are really motivated by a desire for justice. I guess it was you, Miki, I think,
that said this is
revenge.
Yeah.
These are radicals who are, in my opinion, are anarchists. The great line, I'm sorry to say this, but from one of the Batman movies, talking about the Joker, some people just want to see the world burn. And I think that is that is what we have here in, not all of it, the Black Lives Matter movement, as Eric Muldrow pointed out. Some are really motivated by a desire for justice. But there are radicals in our country who just want to see America burn.
Yeah.
And they don't care about justice.
And the part, I guess, is most disappointing, disappointing is a light word, but when I see the reactions to situations before we know all the facts, the towns burned down, people rioted, people have done horrible things, and then 3 weeks later we go, you know what? The reaction that caused all this was based on something that wasn't even true.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go,
sorry we looted your store. You know, I mean.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
really.
No.
That's what it's.
Listen, the devil is in this.
No doubt.
That's
the
right.
Devil is dividing Americans and trying to deepen the divide.
10 seconds.
So the challenge will be for the body of Christ going forward, can we identify the true culprit in it all as being Satan?
Amen.
And lead in conciliatory efforts by being able to empathize with one another regardless of our cultural orientations and experiences?
That's a good 10 seconds right there.
I said preach it, sister. Now say preach it, brother. You've been listening to a special edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our email address is comments@afr.net. Pray for Dallas and the police officers and their families, and we will see you on Monday.